Vrindavan Mahima Amrita Ki Jai. Discussing Brajaraj Mahima. And this last entry is, or two entries, 1137. Sataka 11, verse 37. Verse about the proper decoration for the body. This is the right thing to decorate the body with. The perfect decoration, the perfect jewelry, the perfect ornamentation, the perfect necklace, the perfect ring, the perfect bracelet, perfect choker, perfect ankle bells, kangan, bracelets, waist belts. This is the perfect, Prabhupada Saraswati said this is the perfect decoration. Text 37. Ahamatya buddho bhodhya buddho yuyam tu pandita manitas tu parambrinda vanadul yeva me tanu. I am extremely foolish and devoid of any intelligence, abuddho. Whereas you are all learned, Buddha. Yet my only prayer is that my body may be covered with the dust of Vrindavan. Van dulyeva me tanu. Tanu. Me tanu. My tanu, my body. Maybe Vrindavan. Vrindavan dul. Duli. So he's saying, you're very, oh yes sir, you're very intelligent. And I'm a fool. I am extremely foolish. Ati. Ati, ati, abud. Budi means intelligence. Wise. Bud, wise, intelligent. And abud means devoid of intelligence, devoid of wisdom. A fool, a murk. So he's not just a fool or a murk, he's an ati, ati, abud. Really, number one fool. Big fool. But on one level, he's posing himself like a foolish and devoid of any intelligence. And he says, you're all pandits. You're all Brijvasi pandits and learned scholars and gyanis. And I'm simply a humble resident of Vrindavan, living on the banks of the Yamuna at Kaliya Daha, under the Kadamba tree. I'm a very foolish person. But I know one. I only know one thing. That the perfection of my life is to be covered with the Brajaduli. That's all I know. So that's all the most intelligent devotee of Krishna, that's all he knows also. After studying so much and realizing so much that Uddhava Mahashay was such a greatly learned Pandit Brahmin, Parishadad Lord, that he was so intelligent as a young man that he was enrolled in a school of the demigods, although he was a child of the earth. He went to the heavenly planets, to the abode of the school of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati has a very large university there where he's training people in Vedic knowledge, the devas and sons of the devas and rishis, Brihaspati, the guru of the devas. And he has many teachers in his university. But when he heard about the qualification and the extreme genius and wisdom of Uddhava, that he actually personally came and taught him. He said he doesn't have to go through the regular course of studies with my professors. Although I'm the dean of the school, I will teach him personally. He's so qualified and so learned. So Brihaspati taught Uddhava directly. This is one of the specialties of Uddhava. He became so wise that he was chosen as God's minister, the advisor of God on various matters. But he himself is saying, I came to Braj, I thought I was so wise and so learned and so well trained and so privileged to be the chosen friend come secretary, not secretary, but let's say minister of Dwarkadish, of Mathuradish, of Krishna. But after being in Braj for several months and seeing the wisdom of these Brijbasi cowherd men, these Abhira, the Abhiragan, the Abhira class of Vaishyas or coward, the coward people, the tenders of the animals, the Pashupals of Vrindavan, who are generally not considered to be very astute or learned pundits by any means. They're not called pundits or pandita. They are simply gwals, gopas and gopis. They have enough intelligence to milk the cows and to make cow dung patties and to move the cows from one field to another and to sing some songs and compose some simple brajbash songs about Lala and Dao and Lala and Lali. Dao, Lala and Lali. So they have songs about Dao, Krishna's older brother, and Lal and Lali, Shama and Sham. And that's the extent. And then whatever they pick up from hearing from Garga Rishi and Bhaguri Rishi and Durvasa Rishi when they frequent the palace, and different Brahmins come and recite the ancient histories and of the avatars of Nrisimha and Ram. And this way they learn about the Ramayana and other features of the Vedic paradigm. But they're Abhiras, and Abhiras are considered to be somewhat of an inferior class of Vaishyas. Vaishyas are generally considered to be clever money people. Baniyas, they have very good intelligence for cheating and making big profits from not taking nothing and making a profit. But the coward men don't have that kind of clever cheating intelligence. They're very straightforward and very saral, very simple, pure-hearted village people. But Uddhava, after being with them and associating with Nanda Baba and Yashoda and Krishna and the coward boys and all the gopis, the simple cowherd girls of Braj, then he realized that all my learning is useless. All my wisdom and knowledge is useless. I don't have a fig, I don't have a sesame seed's worth of love that these Brijvasis have for Krishna. The intensity of their attachment and the depth of their dedication to my master, my lord, is massive. It's as big as Mount Meru. My dedication, my love for Krishna is like a mustard seed. And Krishna and the Brijvasi's dedication and love for my Krishna is like Mount Meru. A mustard seed is not only diminutive in size, very small, but it's also very soft. A mustard seed you can break in half. Mount Meru is made of solid gold. It's very, very high, yojans and yojans high, and gold you can't break in half with your fingertips. You can take a sesame seed with your fingernails and break it in half. So he's comparing, Uddhava was comparing his bhakti, his drida bhakti, his durga bhakti, this concentration and the depth and the size and magnitude of his bhakti is like as big as a sesame seed, soft and pliable. And the Brijbasis, the gopis, is mountainous, Himalayan in proportion, and hard as thunderbolts, unbreakable. No one can break the prema of the gopis or the Brijbasis. And he, that same Uddhava, he's saying, I'm abud. Before standing before the Brajagopis and the Brijvasis, I am full. But I know this much, I want to be covered with the dust of Vrindavan. So here Prabhupada Nanda Saraswati is saying the same thing from a different angle. So many times he says the same thing from a different angle. He never gets tired of saying it, so we should never get tired of hearing about it. We never get tired of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Why is that? Why is it we don't get tired? We don't get tired of chanting Krishna's name because Krishna doesn't get tired of listening to our chanting of his name. And similarly, Prabhupada Saraswati never gets tired of chanting the glories of Vrindavan. So many verses, 1500 verses in this book, something like that. 60 times 17. Whatever that is, 1200, 1400 verses or more. Prabhupada Saraswati, Sangha Vidya Sakhi, never gets tired of chanting the glories of Vrindavan, the Mahima, the nectar and glories of Vrindavan, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. He, she never gets tired of chanting, and we never get tired of hearing. Hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. We've read this book alone, ourselves, several times. And now we're going through it a little systematically. As I mentioned, the first time we studied this book was 1990, 89 or 90, about 20-some years ago. And we extracted many gems from this mine, this Mahimamrita Kani, mine of jewels, and we published those in our Appreciating Vrindavan Dham book. Appreciation. This is a theme of a devotee's life. Gratitude and appreciation. So this is his decoration. As I introduced this verse, the title I gave this verse is that Brajaraj is the decoration for the body. Prabhupada would often remark that people are so fond of ornamenting and decorating their bodies. But he said this body is like decorations of a dead body. Sometimes you see, especially in the West and also in India, after someone dies, they bathe the body, and oftentimes if it's a woman, a married woman, they dress her up in a brand new sari. Maybe this is part of the ritual, I don't know. And she has kunkum, fresh kunkum and tilak and kajal and everything put on, bangles and everything put on her body. She's fully decorated. And then she's burned up. And those beautiful decorations become ashes. All that kajal, all that lipstick, all that eyeshadow becomes a pile of ashes to be cast across the waters, cast in across the Ganga, to mix in the watery depths of the Ganga, never to be seen again. Dust thou art and dust thou shall become. Krishna say, dust thou art. This body is made of dust, which means material elements, bhuta, panchabhuta, and after we're burned up again, it goes back to the elements. The air of the body merges with the air of the fire, and the ether of the body merges with the ethers, and the waters of the body merge with the earth, and all of it gets merged into the fire at the time of cremation, shamsan. Dust thou art, and dust thou shall become. So in between the dust, when you're not dust, in the in-between stage, when you're not dust and you're still somewhat embodied, then the embodied soul who's waiting to pass from dust to dust, he should realize his eternal essential nature and unite with God in the spiritual kingdom through devotional practices. So one way to attain that unity with God, or that union with God, and that param gati is, dust thou eat, and praying thy shall attain. So it's quite apropos to our discussion. If one eats the dust of Vrindavan, he will attain praying. And he will attain a Satchitananda Rupam, Siddhadeha, which is a praying body. Praying Deha, Ananda Deha, Aladni Deha. So this dust is powerful. So we don't want to decorate our dead bodies, our living dead bodies, or dead. We have living dead bodies and dead bodies. What is a living dead body? A living dead body is a dead body with the jiva inside. And a dead body is a body where the living jiva has left, the jiva, atma. So in life or in death, we don't want all these artificial decorations. But we definitely want to decorate our hearts and minds and bodies with the dust of Vrindavan. So this is a proper decoration for the human being, to be dusted, to be dusted with the raj, charna, duli from Krishna's feet. This is a perfection. Or the feet of the great devotees, the Shuddha Bhaktas. Bhakta Padaduli, Bhakta Padajal, Bhakta Avashishta, Teen Mahabal. The Duli, the Padaduli, Bhakta Padaduli, Bhagavan Padaduli, Radha Padaduli, Shakti Padaduli, Bhakta Padaduli, Bhagavan Padaduli. The dust from the feet of the Shakti Radha, or the devotee, Bhakta, or Bhagavan Sri Krishna. They all give prema. I often told the story of walking on the Venice Beach or Los Angeles Beach in 1976 with Srila Prabhupada. We had the opportunity two times go on a morning walk with about 25 devotees. The Dandawalas. The Dandawalas and the Dandiwalas. And then Rihastas and like this. And Prabhupada was walking on with his Swami shoes, slip-on shoes, orange, no doubt. Orange in color, saffron shoes, dyed canvas shoes. Were dyed, and then he felt like going with his bare feet and blessing the sand with a touch of his feet. So then he was walking in the sand. And when he took his shoes off, then there was so much sand that had fallen into his shoes while he was walking previously with them on. And Guru Kripa Swami, our godbrother, he lagged behind Prabhupada. We were behind Prabhupada. Also some Sankirtan devotees and temple presidents. And he said, hey, and he got really excited. He had the two shoes. He was holding them. He said, hey, boys, come and get the mercy. He said, hey, boys, come and get the mercy. And he's putting his hand in Prabhupada's shoes and taking out some dust and putting on her head. And we're all laughing because there's only two shoes and we're a bunch, 20 devotees or so. And we all became like little children, like frolicking, you know, baby elephants in a Ganga or something. And we just say, oh, give me some, you know, Guru Kripa. And everyone's jostling and fighting and elbowing this, that. No, you know, he was like, put him above and said, no, you don't get any. Give me some. It was like kind of a little game going on. And we were making some noise. And Prabhupada said, what is that? You know, what is that? What's going on? What's going on? And he turned around and he saw we were all going mad at him. And Guru Kripa said, we're distributing the mercy, Prabhupada, giving the dust of your feet. And he looked at everybody and just smiled. And it turned around and I think Hari Sari said, be quiet or something like that. So he just looked. What's going on? And we're getting the dust. That's what's going on. So his last verse about the glories of the dust, the king, great kings come here and take shelter like King Mandata. Even the Swarga Devis can't even compare it. We'd rather touch the dust of Vrindavan than touch a Swarga Devi. It's much more happiness. And the glories of one grain of Braj, and there's millions of Vaikunthas in one speck, and the glories of every pebble. So now the conclusion of all that is chapter 4, verse 64. And that the conclusion is become a speck. The goal is to become a speck of dust in Vrindavan. Ayinanda tanujakin karam patitam bhamashameva vambaro Kripya tava parabankaja stita duli sadrisham vachintaya. 464, page 136, 7. Pashurika kagaika strina mekam reinorekova shamara sadbhuta vanye vrindaranye bhavam yaham danya. I will be most fortunate if I can become an animal. What if you already are? What if you already are an animal? That's a bird, a blade of grass, or a particle of dust in the forest of Vrindavan. Trinam ekam renor eko va, which is filled with the transcendental mellows of Sri Krishna's love. So this is the goal, to become a piece of dust. He's saying this will be my fortune, my greatest fortune. Aham danya. Aham, I am fortunate. Bhavatu. If this happens to me, I will consider myself very fortunate if I become a particle of dust. Okay, I may be an animal or a bird, or grass, or let me go even down to the lowest particle of Vrindavan. The smallest reducible part of Vrindavan is a particle of dust. Eka renu, eka trinam. So the dust is the lowest position in Braj. And that's what Radharani is praying for. Radharani is praying to become a speck of dust on the feet of Shyam. Stita duli sadrisham vichintya. Hey Nanda Nandan, I'm your devotee. I'm burning in this ocean. I'm drowning in this ocean of separation from you. Please pick me up from this viraha sagar, this ocean of separation. Fix me and keep me in the. Just keep me at your feet. I'm not asking for a place on your chest like Lakshmi. I'm not asking for any special recognition. Just keep me somewhere connected to you and I'll feel I'm successful. So this is a prayer of Radharani in the Mahabhav. So here Prabhupada Saraswati is having the same humble appeal, that this will be my greatest wealth. I'll be most fortunate. I'll be a great dhani. I'll be so wealthy if I can become Pash Eka Pashu Eka Kaga. Kaga is a bird, an animal. Let me become an animal or a bird. Okay, and Krishna says, forget it. You're not qualified to become an animal. Okay, can I become a bird? You're not qualified to become a bird. How about a blade of grass? You're not qualified to be a blade of grass. What gives you? Who do you think you are? You have such high qualifications, such high education to become accepted as a blade of grass in Vrindavan to feed my transcendental cows? Ha! Who do you think you are? Can I just be a piece of pebble, a little particle of dust, and your cows can step on me? Am I that qualified? I'll think about it. Mostly all those positions are filled. We have so many applicants for particles of dust. And this year we've already filled all the vacancies for dust particles. We don't have any vacancies for dust particles, but when one comes up, we'll give you a call. Remember, don't call us. We won't call you. That's our motto. Don't call us, and we won't call you. So this is nice. This is the goal of the whole thing. This is the goal of our bhajan, our smaran, our bhajan, everything. Our highest aspiration. The highest aspiration of a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to become a particle of dust in Vrindavan. That's the greatest achievement, the greatest wealth. Just to be a particle of dust. That's certainly a admirable position. We can consult another translation here. I pray that I may be fortunate to become an animal, bird, blade of grass, or speck of dust in the Vrindavan forest, which is flooded with the wonderful nectar of dark complexion Krishna. So I have any kind of resonance, any form or any position of residence in the locale of Vrindavan forest, that will be my greatest perfection, my greatest fortune and attainment. So this is the conclusion of the glories of the dust of Vrindavan. I think our god brother, the late Aindradas Prabhu, he had one CD, a music CD, kirtan CD, called The Dust of Vrindavan, which I think is very popular and very another wonderful offering to Prabhupada and to Radha Shyam and all the devotees. It's called The Dust of Vrindavan, is that right? So this these series of classes we had were all about the Braja Raja Mahima. So as Prabhupada Saraswati is showing us a progression from up to down, and the lowest point, well, let's say the baseline starting position in Vrindavan is a particle of dust. And then if you're really a good particle of dust, they get promoted to a blade of grass. If you're a good blade of grass, you get promoted to a worm. If you're a good worm, then you get promoted to a bird that eats the worm. If you're a good if you're a good bird, you get promoted to a cat, an animal that eats the bird. If you're a good cat, then you get promoted to a bigger animal, tiger that eats the cat. And if you're a good tiger, you get promoted to be born as a panda. Because the pandas are like tigers. Whenever any yatri comes, they pounce on him and make sure he gives as much money as possible. So now the next discussion we'll have, which would be an obvious conclusion, is the obeisances to the grass of Vrindavan, the Braja Trina Mahima. One blade of grass in Vrindavan surpasses all the opulences in the universe. Chapter 3, verse 46. One blade of grass in Vrindavan surpasses all the opulences in the entire universe. So why is everyone working so hard? Come here and become a blade of grass. And you can be so wealthy, the whole universe will worship you. The entire universe will worship you if you become a blade of grass. Toyakantam pitam yadi paramapiyusham apikim tato yadyurvaisho stana yugalam ashleshi kimata yadi brahman damritam api samaswadi kimato itastut kutyeram vasijad api vrindavanam trinam, something like this. What is the use of drinking nectar to your full satisfaction? What is the benefit in embracing the breasts of the heavenly damsel Urvasi? What is the gain in relishing the nectar derived from the happiness of impersonal Brahman? Brahmanandamritam. Brahmanandamritam, that bliss of Brahman. What is the happiness of impersonal Brahman? Even the grass of Vrindavan has rejected such things as insignificant. Even a blade of grass, even a blade of grass has no interest in drinking nectar. Kantam pitam yadi paramapiyusham. kantam pitam yadi paramapiyusham, tato yad yuravash uravash yastana yugalam ashleshikim ata. Stana yugalam, the pair of stana, the big bulbous full breasts of urvasi, ashlesha. Even a blade of grass has no interest in such things. So how intelligent is a blade of grass in Vrindavan? Brahmanandamritam, the nectar of Brahman, no interest. Tut kritedam. Tut. That seems like tuchavat. Yatas tut. Tut kritedam. Vyastrijad. The trina, the Vrindavan grass, has rejected such things. And not only rejected, but spit on such things as insignificant. Tut. Tut. Tut kritedam. Vyastrijad. So this is that. This means that one blade of grass surpasses all the opulences. These are the highest possible opulences. Swarga Sukh. Drinking nectar. Even sometimes kings on this planet, they can get a hold of some somaras. And they even drinking nectar or going to Swarga and drinking the nectar lips of Urvasi, embracing her Stanabara. Or forget about all these material offerings of Swarga Sukh and Indriya Sukh, Gandharva Sukh, but leaving this whole material universe and all of its paltry happiness behind, and penetrating the coverings of the universe and merging in the Jyoti of the Lord, and that blissful experience of Brahmananda, that is a type of Amritam also. Even that is nothing. Even a blade of grass laughs at such things, insignificant. Tut. So these are the greatest possible attainments, the greatest wealth. The highest happinesses and pleasure are considered insignificant to a blade of grass. Even a blade of grass has no interest in these things. Therefore, we should have enough intel. We should learn from the blade of grass not to be interested in such puny, insignificant opulences. So that's 346. These are a series of verses about the glories of the grass, blades of grass. If you drink the sweetest nectar up to your neck, then what is that? If you embrace the breasts of Urvasi, then what is that? Apikim, atakim, atokim. What is that? What is that? Drinking nectar up to your neck. What is that? Embracing the full breasts of Urvasi. What is that? If you taste the nectar bliss of Brahman, what is that? The blades of grass of Vrindavan. They reject all these things. They spit on them. Which is what I said. They spit on them. Toot. Ah. Insignificant. So in that particular spitting note, we will close the class for today. The nectar. How much nectar is in one blade of grass in Vrindavan? That blade of grass gets to touch the feet of Radharani. And we don't. Blade of grass, so fortunate.